It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, technical editor Kira Pace and educator Lori Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Saturday morning. And we do hope you can spend the next hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So naturally, what we are looking for is your participation. We would love to hear from you. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. If you have a question for us, that would be great. In a couple of minutes, you'll be hearing questions from us that you can answer. So we look forward to hearing from you. And this is a good time to call in. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded later on in the show, but if you call now, I can guarantee we will get you on. Do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So if you would rather email instead of call, that will pop up in front of me here, and then we can refer to that if you have an answer or a question. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is at kalw.org. And of course, if you'd like to listen to the podcast, it should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our show today. Sometimes I say tonight, but it's this morning. And that will be at kalw.org and many, many other places, as I've said many times before. So we will start with a round of introduction and then a round of questions, because I know that's what you're waiting for. And here's the first. Kira Pace, appearances 248. Accidental on-air swearing, zero. So far.
Really? So far.
So far. Is it really 248?
Today is 248, as best as I can figure. And
you
so far,
day over 247.
Well, thank you. So far, no accidental F-bombs, which considering my natural casual swearing and trucker mouth is kind of a surprise to me. Oh, yeah.
So this is like a construction site this many days before an incident?
Pretty much, yeah. I've got a sign. It's just
audience,
off camera.
Audience.
Well, that's a tribute to your professionalism.
Yes. And our 7-second delay. Oh, no, we don't have a 7-second
delay. We don't have a 7-second delay. No.
Don't tell the audience.
All right.
Lori Fisher, a.k.a. Grandpa Fish, can attest to the fact that having two children staying at the house for 2 weeks is not the key. Oh, did I get the right one? Yeah, I did. Okay. It's not the key to the fountain of youth. However, grandchild Alex wanted listeners to know that they can eat 15¾ waffles at one sitting if they so choose.
Absolutely correct. That was breakfast this morning. How many waffles and syrup can a grandkid eat? And the answer is I have no idea. And as our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was saying just the other day, is it Friday already?
That's right. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace, number 248.
All right. You know what? I'm going to do the writing question first. So get ready to write. I've got some names for you. I am going to give you the name of a neighbor on a television show. And you just tell me the television show that they are on. I will give you a clue. I have 10. And I'll give you a clue that most of these shows are named, most but not all, are named for the people to whom these are the neighbors. All right. And I'll give them to you in alphabetical order by neighbor surname. Here we go. The first one is Harry Bentley. It's B-E-N-T-L-E-Y, Harry Bentley. The second one is Carl Brutanen and Andelewski. BRUTANANADILEWSKI. The third one, couldn't pick, so I'm giving you two neighbors, Sandra Clark and Pearl Shea.
Same show?
Same show. Both great neighbors, refuse to choose between them, Sandra Clark and Pearl Shea. Number four is Larry Dallas. Larry Dallas, like the city. Number five, Marcy Darcy. Darcy is spelled D'ARCY. Once Marcy Rhodes, now Marcy Darcy. And number six is Mr. Heckles, H-E-C-K-L-E-S. Number seven, Millie Helper, H-E-L-P-E-R, Millie Helper. Number eight is Lenny Kosnowski, K-O-S-N-O-W-S-K-I. Number nine is Raquel Ochmonick, O-C-H-M-O-N-E-K, Raquel Ochmonick. And number 10 is Erskine Thornberry, T-H-O-R-N-B-E-R-R-Y. So Harry Bentley, Carl Brutanin-Andalusky, Sandra Clark and Pearl Shea, Larry Dallas, Marcy Darcy, Mr. Heckles, Millie Helper, Lenny Kosnowski, Raquel Ochmonick, and Erskine Thornberry.
And I thought I watched a lot of TV, but man, I only have 1.5. What do you have, Data?
Well, you go ahead. That's fine.
I think the one I have is Millie Harper. I think she was the next door neighbor in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Helper, not Harper.
Helper. Helper. Help,
yes. Helper. Millie Helper, indeed, yep. Is Laura's best friend and next door neighbor in the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Her husband, Dr. Jerry Helper.
That's correct.
Oh, yes. Yeah, knowledge.
The dentist. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You take a couple, Dana.
Okay. Let's see. Harry Bentley. Not necessarily proud I know this, but I know it is. He was the Jeffersons.
What? Why aren't you proud you know that? Isn't it an excellent show?
Okay. Yeah. Was it? Okay.
It was. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why it lasted as long as it did.
Yes. He was sort of the no, he wasn't a. Yeah. Yeah. No, he was the guy that lived next door. That's right.
Yeah. And he's the British guy. He was a translator for the UN.
Oh, is that the British? I was thinking the other one, the other guy. And Sandra Clark, I think, not absolutely sure about this, but I think that's 227, right?
Along with Pearl Shea, who was played by Helen Martin. But Sandra Clark is Jack Kay. And yes, that is 227.
Okay. All right.
That's the name of the show? I don't even...
227?
227, yeah. I'm out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack A. Well, if you know Jack A., you know 227. So, yeah, and I knew Millie Helper, excuse me.
I want to know what your half was.
My half is, because I'm not sure, is Lenny Kosnowski. Is he the neighbor of Laverne and Shirley?
the other half being squeaky. Yes, that is correct.
All right, so we got four. That's
all right. Good. That's good. Okay, so what do we have left, Karen?
So the ones that are left are Carl Brutanin-Andalusky, Larry Dallas, Marcy Darcy, Mr. Heckles, Raquel Ochmonick, and Erskine Thornberry.
Raquel Ochmonick, that's familiar.
And I'm going to add one more for the audience. Patty Poole, just because I want to. Patty Poole.
All right. And Lori, you go ahead.
All right. Well, my mind is on breakfast cereals and breakfast for kids. And a couple of weeks ago, I think, Dana, you asked about top-selling cereals. This is a version of that. I think this is true. Of the top-selling 25 cereals in the United States, only 6 of them have just one word in their name. What are the – oh, that's not counting Cheerios. Okay, so 6 of them, I think, is just a one-off name. I'll give you 2 each if you can get them.
But they have to be in the top selling.
They have to be in the top 25. I had to go to 25 to get to find 6 of them.
Well, I'll give you my childhood cereal, Trix.
Trix is in the list. It is the 4th highest of the list. Give yourself a bell on that. And I saw Joanne guessed Wheaties. I think she gets a bell for that one.
All right. Yeah. Good.
Up to you.
All right. Twix, sorry, which is candy bar, not cereal. Trix. Okay. One word cereal. is, yeah. Sorry, my sound blinked out for a second, so I missed your question.
One word cereal. So we have
one word cereal.
Wheaties and Trix. We're looking for four more. Cheerios is number one, and then
I'll give you my second favorite cereal.
Well, hold on, about Kix. I want Kix. K-I-X.
Kix is good. Kix is good.
You know what? I got to check it. I would think it's on the list, but it's not. But you know what? I'm going to double check.
Well, then, okay, if it's not, then Life.
Yes, that's definitely one. Okay. So, Dana, you got one more, and then we'll leave it out?
No, I was going to say Crispix, which is my second favorite cereal.
Yeah, that's on the list, too.
Okay. And is Total also on the list?
No, Total's way too healthy to make the list, I believe. So, I think it has less sugar than the rest. So,
yeah,
Total,
Crispix
I saw,
is
was
pretty healthy.
Maybe. Anyway, but Total did not make the list. So, we're looking for two more cereals in the top 25 that have just one word in the answer.
All right.
In the answer, good. In the title. Go ahead.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Tom and Debbie in Napa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is Cocoa Pops a one word?
It's not. I checked. Okay. I don't even think it's a hyphenated one, so good guess.
Okay. All righty. Well, we all know all too well California has the highest gas prices in the country. My question is, what percentage of gasoline consumption in the entire United States takes place in California?
Ooh.
Well,
California. I'll start the bidding with 15%, just so you have somewhere to go. 15% of the national gas usage, California.
It's true. We probably drive more than most states, and
we have a large population.
We don't necessarily drive longer distances, though.
It is lower than 15%.
I'll go with 11%.
It's basically 10% of all gasoline consumed in the United States is here.
Good job.
All righty. The Rolling Stones, first album in 10 years. It's called Hackney Diamonds. Hackney, H-A-C-K-N-E-Y. And it actually refers to, it's slang, the Hackney refers to a borough in London that is known for being a little bit dicey. And there's something commonly found there that's referred to as Hackney Diamonds. What are Hackney Diamonds?
That's a break-in. That's what they call when they break the glass and the glass shatters all over the ground. Those are called Hackney Diamonds.
Damn, you're good. That's exactly nice. Right. So, of course, I immediately thought we're going to have to start renaming them Frisco Diamonds because it's probably as common here, if not more so, than in Hackney.
I think it's mostly Kleenex and diapers. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Knocked it out of the park as usual. Love the show. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And okay, let me give you a couple of questions here. First of all, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Davao Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, a couple of questions for you. What is the best-selling book of all time? It's fiction. That was written before 1800. What is the best-selling book of all time? Fiction that was written before 1800.
Was it written in English?
I don't think I'm going to give you any further hints, to be honest.
Pinocchio. I don't know when that one was.
No,
Pinocchio
was
I think that was too late. Okay. Yeah,
Pinocchio is the 19th century.
Okay.
So there's a bunch. You know, my first impulse was to say Don Quixote.
That is a very good guess. And that was written before 1800. But no, it's not that.
Okay.
Was Gulliver's Travels before 1800?
Yes.
I believe
then
it
I'm
is.
Going to
yes.
guess that.
It is not Gulliver's Travels.
So it won't be Dickens. It'll be more Tom Jones and that kind of thing and Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah, you have to sort of, you know, you're thinking of the cumulative written before 1800, but it's sold, it's in public domain and it's sold millions and millions of copies. So again, what is the best-selling fiction book of all time written before 1800? All right.
I got to take one more guess, okay? How about Robinson Crusoe?
That is a good guess too, but no, not that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. According to the second question, according to the American Bar Association, these are some of the greatest fictional lawyers of all time. So what I'm going to do is give you six fictional lawyers, and I want you to tell me where they are from. It could be from a movie. It could be from TV. It could be from a novel. But I think in this case, they're mostly movies and TV. So again, these are fictional lawyers. Name the best, according to the American Bar Association survey. Tell me where they are from. Number one, Wilfred Robards. Number two, Jack McCoy. Number three, Henry Drummond. Number four, or number five,
Four.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot Lawrence Preston. Number five, Paul Biegler.
Biegler?
Yeah, I think it's B-I-E-G-L-E-R. And number six, Frank Galvin. So again, these are six lawyers who are on the who were named on the survey from the American Bar Association as the greatest fictional lawyers of all time. Number one, Wilfred Robards. Number two, Jack McCoy. Number three, Henry Drummond. Number four, Lawrence Preston. Number five, Paul Biegler. Number six, Frank Galvin. I'll give you each one guess.
And there are others on the list, right, who might have been ahead of them, but you just didn't include them, like Perry Mason and Atticus Finch. It's that kind of list.
Atticus Finch was actually not on the list.
Oh,
remember,
no.
He lost
Vincent Gambino should have been on your list.
Who?
Vincent Gambino should absolutely have been there.
Who's he?
My cousin Vinny.
Okay.
Yeah, there
Sorry.
You go.
Okay.
No, he wasn't on the list. But Perry Mason was later on. But everybody knows who Perry Mason is. So
I can do exactly one.
Okay.
So,
give me
Lori, how many do you have?
I have three. So you take it.
Okay. I will take Jack McCoy, the low-hanging fruit there.
Yeah.
The Sam Waterston, who says arrogance a lot in the role, and that is on Law and Order.
There you go.
Okay. And I think Joanne had a guess. She is saying Frank Galvin was Paul Newman in The Verdict. And
that's correct.
Sure.
Frank Galvin was Paul Newman. Yes.
Okay. Then I'll take, I have one that I know for sure and one that's a long shot. Henry Drummond was Inherit the Wind.
That's correct. So that's your one guess.
Okay.
Yes. So Henry Drummond is Inherit the Wind. Frank Galvin is Paul Newman in The Verdict. Jack McCoy, that's Sam Waterston in Law and Order, the TV show. So we're still looking for Wilfred Robards, Lawrence Preston, and Paul Biegler. Paul Biegler as the greatest fictional lawyers of all time. And so Eric is wondering if the best-selling book of all time fiction is the Bible. Of course, you know somebody's going to guess that, but no, that. I don't want to offend anybody. No, it's not the Bible, although it's a very well-selling book. Let's see. Peter was wondering if one-word serial life, well, but that was gotten, right?
Let's give him a bell.
We gave you a bell for that.
I'd have missed it, sure.
And let's see. Cynthia was wondering if Larry Dallas, is that Three's Company?
That is Three's Company.
Okay. So Larry was
the car salesman.
Who's
Jack Tripper's friend.
All right. Who played him?
I did not write that down. I honestly don't remember. Okay. I wanted to say his name is Richard something, but I don't remember.
All right. Oh, yes. And CM is wondering if Marcy Darcy, that's Married with Children.
It's correct? Married with Children. Yep.
All right. There we go. All right. There we go. And feel free to email us at mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. So mindsovermatter1. That's the numeral one at gmail.com. Of course, we'd rather you called first. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Spit out that tobacco, Karen. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, good morning. It's Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
I have two neighbor guesses and a question. Was Carl the neighbor on Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
I'm so glad somebody got that, and I don't have to read that name anymore. Yes.
And
he's the one with the car that says, "Too Wicked."
And then the Ekmonics, I think, were the neighbors on Alf.
Yes, Alf is correct.
Okay.
And somehow coming question. Back.
I hope.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's either coming back or already back.
Who plays Alf?
I think it's still, was his name, Paul Fusco?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I have a question for you. Designated in 1870, what is the United States' first official wildlife refuge? It's in the Bay Area.
Well, you just took a question that I was going to ask in about 2 hours. So
oh, no.
That's okay. It's Lake Merritt.
It is Lake Merritt, three blocks away from the Grand Oaks. Yes.
Very fitting.
Well, hopefully nobody at King's X listens to the show.
All right, thanks. See you soon.
You should plug the event. Thanks. Dana, do you need to plug the event more? Get some more audience?
At 12:30, I will be moderating a quiz contest at the Grand Oaks restaurant on Grand in Oakland. If you'd like to come by and say hi, you are more than welcome to do that. It is totally free of charge unless you're on a team. And again, it's the Grand Oaks restaurant around 12:30 today. It'll be most of the afternoon. Come by and say hi if you like.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Susan. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And let's see. Kira, I think it's your turn.
All right. There are only 9 sovereign European countries with no red in their flags. What are they?
No red in their flags.
No red. It's like there's 50 countries that share or that at least have some territory in Europe, and only 9 of them have no red in their flags.
I want to say Portugal.
That is incorrect.
Yeah.
I think Spain is one of them, though, right? Is there any red in the Spain?
Oh. There is. Portugal is red and green. Spain is red and yellow.
Joanne thinks Luxembourg.
Luxembourg is incorrect. I can't think of what their flag is right now, but it is not right.
Okay. There's no red in the Swedish flag.
That's true. Yellow and blue, just like IKEA.
And there's no red in the Finnish flag either.
That is correct. That's red and white.
All right. And there's no red in the Norwegian flag.
I'm sorry, blue and white. Blue and white.
You're going all Scandinavian.
That is incorrect. There is red.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes, it's behind. So the cross has some red in it.
I'll toss in Iceland. How about that?
That is the red cross one on a white background.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Hmm.
And somebody out there can check my work. I do not have this. I don't have this up on screen or anything, but I'm fairly certain that's right.
I trust you.
Okay. Just repeat that if you would, please.
Sure. There are only 9 sovereign European countries with no red in their flags. What are they? And so far we have Finland and Sweden. Looking for a few more.
All right. No red. Okay. No red. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas. It's nice to hear from you.
Yeah. I have got a senior moment going on, and I thought if I asked you guys, maybe you would know or somebody in the audience would know. It's a piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm blue, a cast-off shoe without you. I thought I had a date with you. I guess I just don't rate with you. I wish I were dead and buried.
Is that?
I think it's from a Broadway show, but I'm not really sure.
Is that the verse or is that the chorus, or do you know?
I think it's something like before the verse, what they call the lead-in. What do they call it?
Well, that's the verse. So the verse is the, yeah.
Do we have to pay Thomas, not the composer, Ray? I have to check with legal about that.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell with me. It sounds very much like a you know, introduction or a verse. So
it does sound like a broad. It sounds like a Broadway show.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does. That's all I got. And I thought, well, if I throw it out there, maybe you've got some listeners going to say, well, Thomas needs to know the title of such and such.
Do you want to just know the title? Because I can tell you what it is.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's from the On the Town soundtrack called I Wish I Was Dead.
Well, did you know that? That's.
I was almost positive it was On the Town. Did Nancy Walker do it?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, that sounds like something she would do. So
it does. Yes.
Right. Well, you've made my day. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I did not know that offhand. I wanted to point that out. It just sounded like you really wanted an answer to that question.
Thomas, you should come by today. I'm doing all kinds of movie questions.
So. Oh, okay. 12:30? Right.
Yeah, 12:30.
It's right near the first wildlife refuge in the United States.
That's right. Yes, yeah. It is.
Thank you for everything.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. And let's see here. Tom is wondering if Germany is one of the flags, Kieran.
No, Germany is red, white, black. Or I'm sorry, red, yellow, black.
Red, yellow, black. Okay. All right. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
All right. Well, I got an email from a friend correcting me on an answer from last week about the goody two-shoes. And he said that the thinking cap, he looked it up and he was technically right that the term used in the book was considering cap. And people think that that became thinking cap, but he wanted me to apologize for the mistake and get credit. So thank you, Kurt, for that. And it leads me to a question about college. So we're in the college, applying for college time.
He asked you to apologize on air?
No, but I wanted to shame him into thinking that he did.
Oh, okay.
He frequently does that. So this is a question about admissions rates. In the UC system, UCLA and Berkeley are the two toughest schools to get into. 9% and 11% admission. I want to know, and you only get one guess each, what are the three next most difficult UC schools to get into? And I want to know the three most difficult California State Universities to get into, one of which is harder to get into than some of the UCs. So after UCLA and Berkeley, which is the next, what are the next three toughest? And which are the three toughest CSUs to get into? To give you an idea, San Francisco State has a 92% admission rate, so they're not in it. Cal State East Bay, 82%. These are about half of them. So I'll give you one each on the UC and a couple each on the CSUs.
Well, I'm sure UCLA is number two.
Yeah, UCLA and Berkeley are the ones I gave you. So I'm looking I'm looking for three, four, and five.
Then I'll say UC Santa Barbara.
Yeah, that is fifth on the list with 26%.
Give you some and UC Davis.
No, UC Davis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's changed. Terry, you get one guess on the UCs.
Dana took my UC guess.
Okay. And then,
there are about seven more. So you can,
And then CSU is also one of them, which is just below UCSB. So that's really a tough school to get into. And then I'm looking for the top three in this California State University. There's 19 of those.
Well, the California State one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
No, I was just going to guess Polytech.
Yeah. So, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo is at 30%. So it's tougher to get into than Davis now and way up there. Very good on that. Go ahead, Dana.
So I take it that the state school, they're probably in Southern California, right? Because there aren't that many in Northern California.
You're correct.
So how about for a UC school, Riverside?
No.
Then how about for a state school, Northridge?
Nope. Good guess. Oh.
All right.
Kara, you want to guess one more on the CSU?
Nope.
Okay. So I'm looking for two more, the next two toughest to get into UC schools. We have UCSB, and I gave you UCLA and Berkeley, and then of the California State University. So Jay and Dana's right. They're in Southern California. There's plenty in Northern California, but most are South. We got Cal Poly San Luis Obispo at 30%. I'm looking for the two next most difficult to get into in the CSU system.
I should say that RA is wondering if Ukraine, and this is definitely right, not that he's told me, is one of the flags.
Yes, yellow and blue, just like IKEA.
Okay. And since he said Ukraine, it reminded me of the Baltic states, and I think either Latvia or Lithuania. I think it's Lithuania does not have any red.
Well, that sentence started out strong and then ended.
Oh,
so
really?
Poorly.
Was it Latvia instead?
No.
Or is it Estonia?
It's Estonia.
Okay, Estonia.
That's black, blue, and white.
All right. Okay. And Tom is wondering if UCSC. Well, I think we covered that, right? Or CSU Maritime.
He said UCSD. Nobody guessed that. That's
no
correct.
UCSC, UC Santa Cruz, I should say.
Oh, no, UC Santa Cruz, I think, has the second easiest rate to get into. So Santa Cruz is not it. And what
I would like to guess now on the UC. I reserve my guess.
Oh, what would it be, Kara?
I would like to guess UC San Diego, UCSD.
You do not have to swear. That's very good. You're a good listener. They are fourth on the list. So we're looking for one more UC and two more CSUs. Excellent.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Andrea. I was thinking maybe Honeycomb is a cereal.
You got it. Very good, Andrea.
Oh, good.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
And my husband said Chex.
Chex. I don't have Chex. Right.
Well, I think aren't they usually prefaced by rice checks, corn
checks,
rice
checks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there is no checks. Yeah.
And how about San Diego State?
San Diego State is second toughest to get into in the CSUs. Very good. 39% get in.
All right. Good. That's all I've got.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Two bells.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And you are listening to Vines Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you would like to give us a call, we would love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. You can also email at mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral 1@gmail.com. All right, let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
All right, I've given you the names of some television neighbors. I just want you to tell me the name of the TV show on which they are. And the ones we have left are Mr. Heckles, Patty Poole, and Erskine Thornberry. Also, there are 9 sovereign European countries with no red in their flags. What are they? And so far we have Estonia, Finland, Sweden and Ukraine, looking for 5 more.
All right.
I'm looking for one word cereal. So we have Life, Wheaties, Christmas, Trix, and Honeycomb. There are 6 in the top 25. I'm looking for the 6th one on the list. We don't have that. And I was looking for the toughest schools of the public schools in California to get into that aren't community colleges, which are easy to get into. And we're looking for the 3rd hardest UC school and the 3rd most difficult CSU school. We have UC San Diego, UC Santa Barbara, Cal Poly, and San Diego. Those are the ones we have. We're looking for one more in each category.
All right. And I am wondering, what is the best-selling book of all time? Fiction, written before 1800. What is the best-selling book of all time? Fiction, written before 1800.
I have a question about the book. Is it a book? If not written for children, one we would read to children, like Robinson Crusoe, that kind of thing, or is it really more Tom Jonesy?
It is not meant for children.
Okay,
no.
So kids, could anyone read it? And there's no classic comic book of it, or
I'm not sure about. There may be the classic comic version of it, but I have not seen it. But it's conceivable, I suppose.
And is there a Hollywood movie of it?
I didn't look that up, and it's conceivable in the silent era. I'm not aware of any sound version of it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kira, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, that actually takes away. Was it written by a woman?
It was not written by a woman.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. What were you thinking of with that?
I know. There's something in my head that that I remember being surprisingly early, like earlier than I would expect it, have expected. Sort of like Frankenstein, I think.
Oh, okay. But, no, not guess. Written by one.
Frankenstein is like 1815, right?
So yeah, Frankenstein is not too long
early.
After
1800. Yeah.
But, and Jane Austen. It's about 1818, 1819, something like that.
Yeah. But it's...
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. And my second question, according to the American Bar Association, these are the greatest fictional lawyers of all time, the ones we have left on the list: Wilfred Robards, Lawrence Preston, and Paul Bigler. Wilfred Robards, Lawrence Preston, and Paul Bigler. What movies or TV shows are those from?
I have one more guess on that. You want me to wait?
Yes, just for now.
Okay. It's my favorite
one. Let's see. And I'm going to give you another question here. So in what is the only country does McDonald's have spaghetti as a regular menu item? It is not in Europe. So don't guess Italy. So in what country is the only country that McDonald's has spaghetti as a regular menu item?
And spaghetti specifically rather than pasta or noodles, does that matter?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen pasta or noodles at McDonald's either. So,
is there marinara sauce on it?
You know, that's an interesting question. Yeah. That was not said, but I think it's safe to assume there's probably a little sauce involved. I don't know for sure, honestly.
It's an Asian country, correct?
It's just not in Europe.
I know, but I'm trying to get some more information.
Luck with that. So again, what is the only country that McDonald's has spaghetti as a regular menu item? So
I'm gonna say China.
Good guess, but no, not
given
China.
The whole Marco Polo, whatever. Yeah.
Zach is wondering if on the cereal question, this is a very, I don't think I've seen this cereal in a while. Quisp?
Worst.
Quisp. Don't you remember Quisp?
I don't.
Quisp cereal? I bet Kira does.
Kira, do you know Quisp?
No, I've heard of it, but I think it was in and out of stores before I was born.
I think Zach might have some on his shelves. I don't know. But that did not make the top 25.
No, Quisp was it had a little
It was Martian. The one that won, right? There were like two, it was like Quake and Quisp, and then
Yeah.
Then there was like a vote.
He says Quisp and Quake. So Quake I don't really remember. Quisp I remember. It had a little alien, like a Martian. It had a helmet with antenna coming out of it, and that was spokes character, I should say.
Their mascot or whatever.
Yeah,
they did not make the top 25. So, are they still being made? I don't know because I know.
I think Quisp is still being made, although I don't know that it was made continuously since it was introduced.
I don't think
and the
on
other
the
one,
anymore.
Quake, is the one like mm-hmm. that got voted out.
Okay,
all right. Well,
neither one's on the list, so good guess.
And Patricia and both Patricia and Thomas suggested Ireland for the flag.
Green, white, and orange. They are correct.
All right, there we go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Bernal. Karen is off leading a walk on the Crosstown Trail.
Hi,
so first, is UC Irvine the next hardest UC?
You want to know something? It is now. UC Irvine has come way up on the difficulty list. Excellent work. It's third right after UCLA and Berkeley. 21% get in who apply. Nice work.
Yeah, I thought it had taken Davis's place.
It
as
did.
Far as one-word cereals, how about Puffins?
No, Puffins was on the list but lower, and that's a really good guess. So it's not popular enough to hit the top 25.
Too healthy. So I have a question for you all. Mm-hmm. There are about 90 statues in San Francisco. Only three of them are of real women, living or dead. I'm wondering if you know who those three women are/were, and if you know the locations, that's extra points.
Great question.
So they have to be the main subject of the statue, right? They can't be like off to the side or something like that.
Right. They are the, in all three cases, they are the main subjects. They're not always the only subjects, but they are the main subjects.
So, and these are non-religious, or can we assume
they are all non-religious? Yes,
right.
And they're not necessarily all full-size, full-body statues.
So it might be a bust,
right?
So to speak.
Okay, so oh man. So is there one of Diane? This is for the group. Is there one of Diane Feinstein yet? Like a
yes,
butt for being made. Okay,
is
that's
it
my
really?
Guess then. Yeah.
Oh,
give me a bell.
I didn't know that.
And do you know where it is, Lori?
Well, I'm guessing City Hall, but that's part
exactly.
of a guess. Oh, that it wasn't a guess. Yeah, as I seen it, there's a Moscone one. So yeah, all right. Two more.
I did read someplace there is a statue, but I don't know where it is because I haven't seen it. But so I don't know if it's indoors or outdoors of Florence Nightingale.
Yes.
Oh.
There is a statue of Florence Nightingale at the entrance to Laguna Honda Hospital.
Okay. All right. So
and
are
the third
any
one
statues,
is, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just was going to ask if are any of the statues outside? Like a public,
yes.
You know, in a park or something?
So I think Florence Nightingale is outside, and the third one is outside in a park. And the third one seems to be more obscure because most of the references I found only listed Feinstein and Nightingale, but I eventually found a third one.
Now, is it the Ghirardelli Square mermaids? They were,
it's not.
Were they real mermaids?
Real person.
Real.
Is this a politician?
It's not a politician.
Can you give us, without giving it away?
Oh, wait,
you
said it's an artist?
Oh, it's an artist.
It's an artist.
And do we associate
Frida her? Is it Frida Kahlo?
No, it's an artist who I don't know of any connections to San Francisco.
Huh. We didn't establish if this was a woman or a man. Is it a woman?
They're all women.
They're all women.
I'm sorry.
So there are like 85 statues of men.
And did this person still alive?
No.
But was her art done in the 20th century?
Yes.
So it's a woman artist who has no tremendous connection to San Francisco.
Right.
And it's an is it an American?
Yes.
So, okay.
If you told us what kind of art she did, would that help? I mean, would that be too much?
Painting.
Painting.
About Georgia O'Keeffe.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Oh.
Georgia O'Keeffe. There's a statue of Georgia O'Keeffe and her two dogs in Sydney Walton Park near the Embarcadero, near the northeast Embarcadero.
That's a great local color question.
The sculptor... Marisol Escobar based it on a photograph she took while visiting O'Keeffe.
That's nice.
So that's the obscure one, and congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye. And if you'd like to give us a call, we have some time, and we would love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Chris was wondering if there's a statue of Doris Huerta. I guess we established that there wasn't. Nancy was wondering about Chex also. I don't know. Maybe it was called, at the very beginning, it was called Chex.
But we're looking for the current, you know, what's currently selling. And
yeah.
I think they all have wheat or rice or oatmeal or whatever checks they are. Yeah.
Greg was wondering if the flag of, did we establish the flag of Greece is one of them?
Well, I think we did not, and that is correct.
I think Joanne mentioned that too.
Okay. Well, then they are both correct.
Two bells.
All right.
That is blue and white.
And let me see if I'm missing anything here. Did somebody say Italy for the flags?
Not yet, but there is red. It's green, white, and red.
Yes, Sparky and Maddie suggest Italy. So, okay. All right, good.
So that's correct, Italy?
That is incorrect.
Because oh, it's incorrect. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a tricolor with red.
Okay. And let's see. All right. Kira, I'll let you ask a question here.
All right. What became in 2003 the first Chinese restaurant in Britain to earn a Michelin star? Its sister restaurant, which shares its name, is found at 17 Bruton Street in London, which was once the address of the townhouse in which Queen Elizabeth II was born.
So we're looking for the name of the restaurant.
Yes, with and Michelin star. It's a Chinese hint? Restaurant. With
in that other information, was there a hint?
It's more fun facts that maybe you've heard. That, including the fact that where the site where Queen Elizabeth II was born is now a Chinese restaurant.
I do not.
There's a Panda Express there. My God.
Michelin star.
Michelin star. All right. So, is this restaurant, would you say, so world famous that we would have heard of it?
I would say so, and especially since at some point there was a unit here in the city.
Was there? Okay. Yeah. Can you tell us where it was in the city, just out of curiosity?
In downtown area. It was, where was it?
In Chinatown?
No, it wasn't in Chinatown. Where was it? It might have been Financial District. I don't know. I didn't get to go, and then they closed during COVID.
I don't know why I'm asking. It doesn't help me at all. But
is it a dim sum restaurant?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's its primary thing. There's also one in Vegas, which is the only one I've been to, and it did not have dim sum there.
And maybe didn't have a Michelin star either.
No, it doesn't.
Was it a buffet?
No.
Back to Panda Express.
All right. Too bad.
I do not know my Chinese British restaurants, so.
Yeah,
I'll leave it for the audience.
I'm lacking there.
I will say that the one in Vegas was actually quite excellent.
I bet.
Was it? Where was it located in a casino?
Yes, it was at MGM. Is it MGM?
Does it have a famous chef associated with it that we know the name?
I'm sure there is. I don't know it. So I can't tell you that without.
So it was in Vegas in a casino, and it still wasn't a buffet. Huh? All right, fine.
It is go to.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Melissa and Bill.
Hi.
Hi. Let's see, Kira, the character Mr. Heckles, was that in a cartoon show?
No, it's a very cartoonish name, but it is not.
Okay, well then skip it. Let's see, Dana, for the best-selling fiction book written before 1800.
Correct.
Melissa was guessing the Decameron.
That's quite a good guess, but no, it is not that.
And my guess would be then the Canterbury Tales.
That is also an excellent guess, but no.
Okay. See, also, Kira, for your flags, mm-hmm. How about Scotland?
I was going with sovereign European countries, so that's a constituent
Uh-oh.
Country.
Mm-hmm.
But oh. also, I believe Scotland, isn't Scotland's, oh, no, right, I'm sorry, I'm still thinking the dragon one. No, you're right, it's blue and white. But no, because it's a constituent country, it is not on my list.
Okay, what about San Marino then?
San Marino is correct. Nice job.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. For the CSU schools,
mm-hmm.
What about CSU Monterey Bay?
Nope. That didn't make that. They're a little easier to get into than the third one on our list.
Yes. Okay. All right. I have a question. There were three consecutive presidential elections in the early 20th century that featured three different socialist candidates for president. What were the years and who were the candidates and what percentage of the vote did they get?
Can you repeat the beginning of the question, please?
Yes. at the beginning of the 20th century, there were three consecutive U.S. elections with three different candidates under the Socialist Party or something that represented the Socialist Party. Who were the three candidates, in what years, and what percentage of the vote did they get?
That's the most famous one, Eugene
Debs. Eugene Debs, and that was...
What year?
Was that
20? Well, he ran a couple of times, I think, and
from
but
prison.
He did, but he was... He was bookended by two others.
One of the times he ran, he was actually in jail.
And that was afterwards.
He got 1 million votes. I think that was the highest. I think he got him around 1 million votes. And
but
I think,
what year are we talking about?
Was that 1920?
In 1920, yes.
Yeah.
Debs got about 900 and something thousand votes.
Right.
What percentage of the voting total did that represent?
I'm just guessing here. I'll say slightly under 10%.
Oh, it's somewhat lower than that.
Okay.
3%?
That's about right, Lori, about 3.4. Okay, so who were the two candidates that bookended him?
That's a little tougher.
Yeah. Dana, that's your work here.
So this is 1916 and 1924?
Correct.
Man. I'm sure you're asking for a reason because they're well-known candidates. Is one of them a woman?
Or not necessarily, but there's a trend that's important.
No, I don't think I know. Debs is so...
Okay, so I think... first of all, in 1916, it was Alan Benson, and he got about 3% of the vote, which represented about 590,000 votes.
Okay.
Somebody, one of the three of you, said the name of the candidate in 1924.
We did. We did, huh?
Today?
Yeah. At some point in my life.
Patty Poole?
No.
Was it on an earlier call that one of us said it?
No. I think I heard it while you were discussing this call.
Okay.
No,
I didn't.
My total recall is lacking. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Okay, so it was Robert La Follette.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh, I should have gotten that. Yes, a Wisconsin senator. Yes.
What percentage of the vote did he get?
He did pretty well, I think.
Right. I think the trend is they each got more, so I'm going to say 4%.
Oh, go way up.
Ooh. Yeah, he did pretty well. I'll say like maybe 11%.
Even higher than that. About 16.5%, which represented about 4.8 million votes. He actually won his home state of Wisconsin.
Right.
And that, of course, triggered the crackdown on all the socialist, communist parties because the ruling class got scared.
Well, I mean, we had a socialist candidate for governor in California that people were very scared about, too. So,
yeah, but yeah. Anyway, that's it. But thanks again. And
all right. Thank you
for the show.
All right. Thanks very much. I appreciate your calling. And this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Let me just check the email here. Lori says there's another statue of a historic woman in San Francisco. Oh, she's right. Yeah. There is a statue of a store. Joan of Arc is on a horse outside of the Legion of Honor. Yes, that is true. Yeah. Okay, good. Very good.
Joanne says there's a statue of Alma Spreckles in Union Square. So that came in the chat. Did you get that one too, Dana?
Also good. Did we establish the flag of Greece, Kira?
Yes.
Greg from Alameda got it.
All right. Okay.
And Joanne. Is it two for?
All right. I'm sorry. And Michael is wondering, I think this is the name of the restaurant he's talking about. Is it Tommy Toys?
It is not.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else here? Oh, yes. And Sparky did get the right answer. The only McDonald's that has spaghetti as a regular menu item is in the Philippines.
Oh,
well, that makes sense.
The Philippines. Yes.
Yeah.
Probably spam too. And anyway, all right, let's go to call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, Peter from Florida. You mentioned this in an earlier show, Pebbles.
Pebbles didn't make the top 25. That's a great guess.
What?
Yeah, I'm surprised. It was in there someplace.
You know, and Crisp and Quake, I remember they invited people to vote who you want. They wanted to get rid of them on Crisp or Quake, and they had a competition. I remember it must have been in the mid-1970s, because remember the time of the bumper sticker, don't blame me, I voted for McGovern?
Mm-hmm.
I remember coming up with a bumper sticker, don't blame me, I voted for Quake.
Yeah.
It was funny at the time. So, earlier in the show, you mentioned Bentley. Here's a question. How did George Jefferson refer to Bentley and his wife?
Don't know.
You don't remember his wife?
I don't remember the show.
No, Bentley's not. Bentley wasn't married. Bentley wasn't
was
married. Either, you're thinking of their other neighbor.
Roxy Roker and...
Yeah.
The other guy.
Yeah, it was a mixed couple.
Right. No, that wasn't Bentley.
Or how did George Jefferson refer to the mixed couple?
I don't know. I thought he called that guy a honky, but...
No, he called them the zebras.
Black
and white, right? Oh, and how about... Who is that mixed couple? Anyway, how about the old novel... Thomas More, Utopia.
Nope, that's also a good guess. We are almost out of time. We have to clean up here before we go. But thank you for the call. Thank you. Sorry about that. All right, time to clean up here. And Kira, we will start with you.
All right, Mr. Heckles was from Friends, Patty Poole. That is Edie McClurg from Valerie/Valerie's Family/The Hogan Family. And Erskine Thornberry was on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Really?
The flags
Thorny.
That,
they called them Thorny.
Thorny,
yeah, that's right.
Yep. The flags we had left were Bosnia and Herzegovina and also Cyprus, which is geopolitically European, although it's geographically Asia Minor. And finally, the Chinese restaurant with the first Michelin star for a Chinese restaurant in the UK was Hakka San.
So, Dana, was Paul Bigler in Anatomy of a Murder?
That was James Stewart in Anatomy of a Murder.
I love that. Okay, my two other answers were the CSU, that is difficult to get into, is CSU Long Beach, 40% admission rate. And the cereal that no one got that I have never heard of is Crave with a K, K-R-A-V-E.
I've seen it. Yeah,
okay.
I haven't tried it yet.
Anyway, that's it for me.
What is the best-selling book of all time written before 1800? That is A Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. According to the American Bar Association, the greatest fictional lawyers of all time, the ones nobody got, Sir Wilfred Robards. Wilfred Robards, that's Charles Laughton in Witness for the Prosecution. And Lawrence Preston, I don't know if you remember this, it was E.G. Marshall in The Defenders, TV show.
Gotcha.
I think that's it for me. My thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We look forward to hearing from you. If you want, drop by the Grand Oaks Restaurant this afternoon. I will be moderating a quiz contest. And until that time, until next week, have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.